January 2nd, 2019, meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Nichols?
Here.
Director Ray Russom?
Here.
Chair Austin?
Here. Thank you. Will you all join me in the flag salute, please?
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you. Our agenda review. Is there anything on the agenda you'd like to change? Or you okay, Barbara?
Nothing for me.
Okay. Then that brings us to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Is there any public comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and it's undoubtedly this board will make decisions this year, 2019, that will shape the future for the next 50 years. You'll be deciding on whether or not to get behind your ratepayers or further encourage the consultants who are working for you and pushing an almost 15-year-old redundancy project. The redundancy project is approaching $30 million, is 90% designed, apparently going to bid this spring, and scheduled for the initiation of construction the fall of 2019. Unfortunately, you have a long way to go before your coastal development permit's ready for issuance. Have not met the conditions. You haven't established your rates yet for this new project. There hasn't been a 218 process, and the financing for the project hasn't been lined up yet either. So this, to me, is an opportunity to do something related to the location of the facility. That's the problem with this project. As you know, your current site is at the confluence of Arroyo Grande Creek and Meadow Creek. There's prone to flooding in the area. There's the infamous 2010 flood that cost this district well over $1 million, including the state fine. High groundwater perhaps is your biggest obstacle at that location. The site is perhaps, it's well, anywhere from 8 to 15 feet above sea level. The question is, would you spend tens of millions of dollars at this site that is becoming a wetland? Your consultants cannot engineer around Mother Nature. And it's not just the $30 million that's contemplated for the redundancy project. There's the additional tertiary treatment and its cost in the millions, I would guess. And then there's the phase two of the Central Coast Blue, which is in the tens of millions. So at the end of the day, there may be an investment of upwards of $100 million at your current site. I think that's a bad idea. In 2016, Michael Nunley and Associates prepared a technical memorandum regarding alternative site and their evaluation. Site one seemed to have the best prospects, and that's in Grover Beach. The site is 45 feet above sea level. It doesn't experience high groundwater, no flood hazards, no liquefaction risk, no sea level rise concerns. It's already disturbed, and it's outside of the coastal zone. What more could you want for the next 50 years? The cost of running a wastewater treatment facility includes the operating costs, and a true comparison of alternative sites must include the expected life cycle costs over time. It's those costs of operating a facility that have to be factored in and really tell you what it costs to operate and own a facility. The current site limitations already have adversely affect operating costs and will continue to do so as the groundwater levels rise. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. And just to piggyback up briefly on Mr. Edwards' comments, your coastal development permit has milestones in which it needs to meet for coastal staff on certain dates. They're called out in the permit. And one such milestone is something called a coastal hazards monitoring plan. And it is a year late. I didn't know that it was late. I wasn't tracking those dates. I will from henceforth. But it's a year late because your technical experts, Rick Sweet and Paul Karp, really dropped the ball. And maybe there is a silver lining in that it's a year late. The data that they have used within the plan, in this monitoring plan, is new information that's been adopted by the Ocean Protection Council. But there is a flip side in that the picture that it paints for the sanitation district is worse than it would have been had the report been done a year earlier. And worse meaning sea level rise, high groundwater, those things are going to affect this property significantly over the life of the redundancy project. And that's why it's something I've been speaking to your board for a long time about, is this the best place to continue to invest millions and millions of dollars in when you simply are going to have to move? And as part of the permit, your district agrees to move the plant. There is a process in that you are going to move off of that site. So now, why not now? And I hope you get your hands on a copy of this. Maybe you could send it to your board, Jeremy, and just read it for yourself so that you have some of the same information that I do. I asked a question at your last meeting, and I have not been afforded the answer. Oceano CSD had a broken lift station a few weeks ago, and the district, your district, opened up after hours and let them bring trailer loads of sewage material into the site, your site. And I don't know the answer to this. Is there a charge for that? Certainly, if you're paying somebody overtime, that should be compensated for. And then is there a charge per gallon of material that needs to be treated? I would like that answer. And my time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, the question that was just proposed here, was asked last time under the district administrator and plant operators report, and I was going to ask Jeremy to answer it then, but since it's been brought up, would you go ahead and answer the question about the...
Happy to. Thank you. Jeremy Gent, district administrator. So, yes, you're referring to at the last meeting during my plant operators report, I had mentioned one of our call-outs was in support of OCSD's lift station that's there on Pier Avenue. They had some equipment failures, and so they had FRM there pumping the waste out and trucking it to the facility. They were going to have to do that and for another load after we were shut down at 4 o'clock, and so we had a staff member come back after hours to open the gate to let them into the facility. The district practice for that type of work is that if we are working at the facility, we do not charge our member agencies any charges to receive that waste. That being said, we are a collaborative agency, and we will help all of our member agencies. And if we were called after hours to actually go and do that work, say, for instance, for OCSD, that's something that we would work for and try to accomplish just out of collaboration. And at that point, we would absolutely be seeking reimbursement to work off-site on their collection system. But if we are receiving waste at our facility, whether it comes in by pipeline or comes in by truck, that's the duty of the sanitation district, and we're going to meet that service.
Thank you, Ms. Mint. Okay, any other? There's no other public comments, so we will move on to the consent agenda. 5A, approval of warrants. 5B, approval of the meeting minutes of December 19th, 2018.
I have no adjustments or questions.
Okay, I have a public comment on 5A and 5B.
Julie Tacker again, and I wanted to speak to your warrant register, specifically the $5,010 warrant for Lara HR Services. This is for your policies and procedures manual that you all adopted at your last meeting. My calculations have the cost over $16,000. This is a document that every agency has one. And I know I personally provided the sanitation district policies and procedures manuals from the Cayuga Sanitation District. I know that Mayor Hill, in public, presented the state of California's policies and procedures manual. And the heartburn I have over this is a lot of this is boilerplate. And what happened here originally with Gerhard Huebner was that he went in there and wrote a lot of material that basically wasn't legal, and you paid him, you paid Ms. Lara, you paid the lawyers. The union looked at it. You spent your own time on it as a board, weeks and weeks and weeks, hours and hours and hours, and then the corrections, and Ms. Lara has racked up another $7,000 in the last few months, and all you have is a policies and procedures manual that still has some issues. I like to credit the ledger of collateral damage from Gerhard Huebner with this document and the cost that's been associated with it. This is a travesty to your ratepayers to have to pay and pay and pay and pay to massage a document that should have been thrown out at the very beginning, after as soon as he left. So when you do go back through it, I'm hopeful that you do on some sort of regular basis, that you are checking through those policies. Hopefully you won't have to check through those policies when someone has to have a grievance, someone has an issue, because then you have to stand behind that document and you have to protect the district with it. And I think there are some things that, just in your leisure, look at it and see if you really could stand behind that document.
Okay, any other public comment on the warrants and the minutes? All right, seeing none, then I will bring it back to the board and get a motion.
I move approval of the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, carries 3-0. So we'll move on to the district administrator and plant operations report.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, district administrator. Happy to say that we made it through the holidays. It's 2019. Like last month, the plant continues to run really well. We are taking on some new projects as we get into the first of the year. We've got some stuff coming forward. The pressing issue is getting caught up on our audits, so we'll be done with that. We'll begin that effort here in the middle of the month with Moss Levy, and we'll continue to and have that completed before the end of the calendar year. We no update on our Regional Water Quality Control Board MPDS permit that's in draft form right now. With the Regional Board, we've got a hearing coming up on January 31st or February 1st. It's a two-day hearing. We haven't been scheduled yet. I'll be there in attendance to answer any questions that they might have if they ask, but there's no presentation from the district being requested at this time. Let's see here. So Central Coast Blue, we continue to meet with the project development team and work on advancing the EIR and other project development. We had no plant tours. There's some upcoming items that are noteworthy that will be taken at the should be the first meeting in February. The next meeting is canceled, which would have been January 16th. Several members of the board will be out at a League of Cities conference, so we won't have a quorum. And so we'll meet again on February 6th, and that date we will do chair selection and vice chair selection, and also that is the date in our bylaws which we review the bylaws. So we will be coming forward with a bylaw review also at that meeting. Moving on to the plant operations report, numbers at the plant couldn't be better. We made it through the Christmas holidays. We saw some increases in flows during Christmas Eve, as expected. We were able to keep up with it and meet all kinds of treatment. Nothing's even close to being out of compliance. We've done some targeted safety training throughout the month. And the only other note was the OCSD call-out. So that with that, that concludes my administrator's report. Thank you.
Can I ask you a quick question on the redundancy project one? There's an abbreviation KJ.
Yes, so the abbreviation, Kennedy Jenks is okay. The consultant okay. That we're using, yes.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on the plant operator's report?
Julie Tacker, and you have a Facebook page. And I found it after I read the staff report here. I saw that it was up and liked it and shared it and invited my friends to also like it. And you have quite a few friends now, don't you? So I know you have a lot of Facebook friends. You should share and like it and invite people to join it as well. So, and all of you should. And that way, more eyes are on the things that are happening at the district. This is a great tool. And one of the things that I haven't seen out of this district, I haven't seen enough of out of this district, is what you should and shouldn't flush down your toilets and drains. For everything that has to be screened out of that plant and treated in the water comes a cost. So the less that goes down those drains and in the sinks, the toilets, the less the plant doesn't have to work as hard and your operators don't work as hard, and ultimately it costs less to run. So education is key. It's also a place where I hope in the near future that we put some things to bed, correcting the record. Some things have been said by prominent individuals in the South County that were patently false about this district. Something was said about falsifying data to the state, and something was said about damaging the ocean beyond repair. These are absolutely false statements that can be corrected using this tool. So I encourage Jeremy to do that. And sometimes there are newspaper articles or things that other places are doing. I hope you are receptive to some ideas that could be then posted on your site, on your Facebook page. Because I, as I've said before, am a sewer geek and tend to read a lot of sewer-related things and would like to share those with you that then you can share with your ratepayers.
Good evening, Mary Lucy Oceano. I wanted to ask you something about your report. Okay, you, on the Central Coast Blue, can you just give us a quick update if any grants have been applied for or we have any requests for funding out there? Thank you.
Yes, go ahead. He was going to answer. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you know, as I believe you know, the effort right now is being led by the city of Pismo Beach largely. So the Sand District has been a supporting agency and a collaborating agency on the project. They have applied for a planning grant, and they have also applied for some a grant for construction, some construction money as well. I do believe they heard back on the planning grant, which would be the beginning engineering and reimbursement for some of the work that's been done. I'm not prepared to answer that tonight, but I'd be happy to follow up. But I was told that money was coming through for the planning grant, but we still don't know anything about the construction funding or any grants for construction funding on that. Yep.
Any other public comment?
Good evening, Ron Arnelson. It's once again, I'd like to say it's refreshing to have a district manager that has a knowledge of the department of the facility and is able to put together a decent report and is able to answer questions and is knowledgeable. It's a great, refreshing thing. Thank you, Jeremy.
Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, then we will move on to miscellaneous items. Anything? Any board member communications?
I'll try and see if we can't get the city to turn on the heat next time we're in here.
Good Lord.
Sorry, everyone.
It's a little chilly. It's okay. Anything more?
I don't have anything.
Okay, then that would bring us to closed session. Can we get a report, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. For closed session, there are two items: conference with legal counsel, existing litigation. Paragraph 1 of Subdivision D of Government Code Section 54956.9, Wolf versus Dutra et al., San Luis Obispo County Superior Court Case Number 18CV-0402. And the second item is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to Paragraph 4 of Subdivision D of Government Code Section 54956.9, one case.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on closed session? Seeing none, does someone tell me?
One more time, Julie Tacker, and initiation of litigation. As I've said before, I am not entirely, let's just say I'm hopeful that you are considering filing civil action against John Wallace and Associates for the conflicts of interest that were definitely found in criminal court, but I don't know why, but somewhere, I think I read it in a Tribune article, it said that the district did not seek restitution. The district should have sought restitution. I think that was also related to the administrator at the time. Can't be sure, but the district was harmed, and the redundancy project and its escalating cost is directly affected by the harm and the delays. So there's so much history. I hope you consider it all and take the next step to pursue legal action in civil court against John Wallace.
Any other comments?
I merely want to say I second that motion.
Okay, any other comment?
Judge Price, I third it.
Okay, is that all for public comment? Then we will adjourn to closed session.